We are joined here on the phone by Steve Justice. Steve Justice, how are you today?
Oh, I'm wonderfully well. Thanks for asking.
Thank you for joining us. You are with the Honor Flight Organization. For people who don't know what that is, could you just kind of lay out what the mission of North Coast Honor Flight is?
North Coast Honor Flight is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to take our elderly veterans, principally World War II veterans and now Korea, back to Washington, D.C. To visit their memorials, to bring honor and closure to their lives.
And a lot of these folks are getting up there as World War II and Korean vets. And so, you know, funding is limited. And how do you guys raise money to fly all these people over to D.C.?
Oh, well, I mean, I am astounded by this, actually. Some years ago, I received a phone call from Catherine Burleson saying that she discovered this national organization and how wonderful it was. She had been on one and that we really had to do it here. So we decided we would, being a veteran myself and loving these older vets. We just put a call out to Humboldt County, you know, just said, folks, this is what we'd like to do. If you'd like to support us, please send us money. And the money just started rolling in, one of the first large donations we got was from Coast Central Credit Union for $20,000. It was one of their grants that year to help us. And by golly, that thing has been the bedrock of what we've done since then. Now, other than Coast Central Credit Union and our own business, ARS Insurance, and maybe 101 things to do, primarily this has been funded by individuals sending $10, $20, $100, $200, $1,000. I'm astounded.
What is it like on the D.C. side of this? Like, what does the itinerary look like? You guys take off, I think, in just a couple of days now, right?
Yes, we're taking off on Thursday. We're one of the two of the most remote hubs, that's what we call ourselves, in Honor Flight. It's a four-day trip for us, so we'll take off Thursday and we'll carpool. Our guardians will take cars and we'll take our veterans. We drive to Sacramento. We meet there no later than 4 at a designated hotel, get ourselves together, and after a brief orientation and getting them checked into their rooms, which are all paid for, we're going to go to the Elks Club and have a banquet. And there'll be a lot of, you know, fuss made over them there. And then we'll all be together, and the next morning on Friday, we'll fly out to D.C., and that's a day of travel. We don't, you know, we lose time, so we get there late. We'll have another banquet at the hotel, and then on June 6th, the anniversary of D-Day, we'll be at the memorials. So at the memorials, we'll start off with Korea. We'll have a service there, and we'll go to the Vietnam Wall, and we'll have a short service there. And we'll make our way to the World War II Memorial and join the Friends of the World War II Memorial for a special service honoring the anniversary of D-Day.
And are these events, you are joined by other honor flights from around the country for this?
Well, they're in and out all the time. And at World War II Memorial this time, we're going to be joined by honor flight from Austin, Texas, and one from Lake County, Illinois. So it'll be 3 honor flights there at noon when they have a general giving remarks and this and that. And we'll have part of that service, too. We do a service there for our men called a roll call, et cetera, that we've created. Something to attach them to it, something very personal. This is a personal trip for our men. So with all of the things we do, and we visit all sorts of other memorials, including the Women's Memorial. We're going to be there a little later for lunch, and we honor the women veterans on the trip, and we'll end up at Arlington at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and then with another great big banquet that night. But in everything we do, the focus is to honor these veterans for what they gave to us. It's not about the trip. It's not about the bugles and the fanfare. It's about these guys and their relationship to their country and to each other and what they sacrifice for us. I found that the importance of Honor Flight is not just in what it does for them in bringing some kind of closure to that part of their life and recognition of the huge life that they've led, and they get overlooked most of the time now, but it also gives the community a chance to say, yes, that's right, and to show this immense gratitude. And it comes pouring out of everywhere when people see them. It's amazing.
It really seems, I mean, being a veteran is an indescribable experience, and to be around people who can relate to you and this time in your life where nobody sort of, you know, in civilian life can truly understand what that's like. And then they go back to these memorials and they can see names on the walls of people they know. Is this an intense emotional experience, or is there a little bit of laughter here and there? Like, what does it look like when you guys are touring the memorials?
Oh, they, you know, so we have all of these guys, they're talking about their experiences, but, you know, they don't talk much about a lot of explosive details or blood or gore, a few things. They talk about what the can opener was like and who was where and what this ship looked like. And, you know, there's some of the other things too, but mostly they just ease back into that, you know, that time of their life when they're relating to those young boys who actually saved the nation, saved the world. There's a lot of laughter. You know, they relate a lot. It's an odd thing. We have three guys from Garberville a few years ago. So we met up for the flight, and they'd known each other for years, but they didn't know each the other that they were veterans. But not only that, two of them lived next to each other, and those two discovered that they had jumped into Holland together. And they'd lived next door for 10 years.
No kidding.
Other.
Wow.
Yeah, how does that work? And some guy saw a woman that he hadn't seen in, like, you know, 80 years. I don't know what it is, 40, 50, 60 years. And it's all of these just amazing things that go on. So I can tell you, not unlike a lot of deep experience, I could tell you everything that happens, but I cannot impart to you the depth of the experience that some of these men have and the closure that it brings, the healing that it brings to their life. One of the more common things that I hear from them was, I finally got my parade. Can you relate to that? I mean, we have these pictures of New York and the big parades, World War II. Most of those guys got home much later. And they got home by train or whatever, by bus, and they landed up at a Greyhound, and they went back to the farm, and they changed their clothes, and they went back to work. That was it. There were no parades.
We're talking with Steve Justice. He's with North Coast Honor Flight, and 52 veterans from the North Coast will be heading out to Sacramento in a couple of days.
When you're fighting, if you're a combat vet, people will relate to this. You know, I mean, you might start out on some global scale about saving the world, and then there's fighting for your flag and the honor of your country, and then there's your unit, you know, patriotism, etc. But when it comes down to it, you're fighting for the guy on both sides of you and your unit. That's who they fight for. They fight for each other when they get there. And each of them know, a good Marine certainly knows this, any good serviceman, that you're only as strong as your weakest link, and nobody wants to be that link. So they live and they die for each other in the middle of combat. And let me, I'll just say it, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for another. And that was happening all over Iwo Jima. That was a terrible, terrible battle. But there were a lot of others, too, incidentally.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Involving not just the Marines, but the Marines. Okinawa was one of the worst we fought in the war. We have a hero down in Rio Del that was in a tank in Okinawa. The Japanese had, they were buried in the mountains in caves. They had large guns that would roll out on tracks and shoot at our ships and our men and then retreat again before anybody could get a fix on them. But we have a guy down in Rio Del who ran a gas station down there for years. He was in a tank. They actually took out one of those guns, but subsequently were hit themselves, and he was covered with burns from that. They all got out alive, but he is actually in a burning tank on Okinawa. I mean, these people are around us, and they've been around us all of our lives, and we haven't known it.
The average age of the youngest veterans, I read, is 80 years old, and we're losing, I think, 600 to 800 a day. Is that accurate?
Well, that's Korea, yeah. It's even more than that. Our average age is, we have a lot of 92, 94-year-old World War II vets at this point.
Well, Steve Justice, it's such a fascinating story in such an intense time, and it's fantastic to hear that you've been so successful that as you say, money just sort of came at you to help these veterans get out to D.C.
Humboldt County, the most generous place in the world.
It has been great talking to you. More information online at northcoasthonorflight.org. Steve Justice, thanks very much. Will you stay on the line for a second?
You betcha.
All right, don't go anywhere.
Choose wisely.